They need to know you, like you, and trust you. And once you can establish those three things with people, they're going to send business to you without you even asking.
Welcome to the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today we're talking to Kyle Van Dusen from Ogle Web Design, and we're having a great chat about all things in-person networking. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/025. Welcome to the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by video for the very first time, Mr. Kyle Van Dusen. Hey up, Kyle, how's it going?
It is going excellent. I know you chose me as your first video because I'm that just that good looking. Is that right?
That was high up on the priority list, or it may have been that we couldn't get the audio recorder to work properly.
No, just cut that part out.
All right. Okay. We'll edit that. Yes, absolutely. It was your stunning good looks and your David Hasselhoff impersonation.
Yeah. the drunk one where he's asking for a cheeseburger, because I can do that one.
Yeah, that's the one. Does he have malt vinegar on that by any chance?
Well, we can make it happen. I should have brought my bottle in here. Keep it at my desk, but
if you don't know what that joke's about, head over into Kyle's Facebook group, the admin bar. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and you can all gets explained. We'll leave that one as a little bit of a we'll leave it hanging as a bit of a taster, so people can head on over to your group. So Kyle, before we're going to talk networking, which is ironic for a couple of reasons, which we'll get to in a minute. But before then, would you like to introduce yourself to the boys and girls at home?
Absolutely. So my name is Kyle Van Dusen. I own Ogle Web Design just outside of Fort Worth, Texas. I spent about 15 years as a graphic designer in the print industry before starting my business at the beginning of 2017. I work with all kinds of different size businesses here locally and as well as some abroad. I think I've hit jobs in 5 different countries now, so I'm excited about that.
Hey, that's cool. Well done, man.
Yeah. It's super exciting. So I'm a pretty non-techie, non-coder designer type, but I'm learning my way around WordPress and a little code as I make my way through it. But just excited about building relationships online and in person, and excited about talking to you about that today.
Spot on. And we should also say you are one half of the force of nature that mm-hmm. is behind the admin bar.
Yes.
And well, firstly, do you want to tell us what the admin bar is and a little bit about it?
Yeah. So me and a gentleman named Matt Siebert met in an unusual way, and I'll leave that. If you go check out the admin bar, you can figure all that out. But we met in an unusual way about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. He lives up in New Hampshire. I live in Texas. And he was using me as a subcontractor to do some design work for him. And we just started getting along really well and ended up talking more business and helping each other out and helping each other solve problems and stuff like that as time went on. And we just realized our relationship worked a lot better as being kind of partners in each other's business without actually really being partners. So, you know, we talk finances, we talk just about everything about our business. We talk pretty much daily and really help each other out with when we're running into issues or, you know, the kinds of things that if you worked in an office environment, you'd lean back and talk to the guy in the cubicle next to you, except we both work from home by ourselves. So we don't really have that person. So that's really been a huge boost to both of our businesses. And I thought, you know, we need to take the same concept and bring it to a lot more people. So we started what we call the admin bar. What we're doing is weekly live roundtables with developers and designers and all kinds of interesting people from across the globe. We do live shows about 45 minutes long that we do live onto Facebook and just talk about all kinds of different stuff about our businesses and challenges we run into and helping each other out. Also have, you know, the Facebook group and all that. So there's all kinds of ways you can find us. But if you go to the adminbar.com, you can find all that out.
And I'm part of the admin bar. And I've got to say, I mean, you guys have only been going for what, two, three months now?
About two months.
And there's hundreds of people in your group. It's incredible the growth that you've seen. But the quality of the discussion that happens in there, and you're right, it is, you've really done it well that you've taken this concept of having a safe place to talk about business stuff and put it online. And you know, we've had some great conversations in there. And yeah, it's you've hats off to you. But today is also another special day, isn't it? Because
it is.
For the very first time, go on, you tell him. It's your story, not mine.
So, actually, Matt, like I said, lives up in New Hampshire. He's actually flying to Dallas today. So we can WordCamp in Fort Worth together. So excited about that. We'll meet for the first time. So I've already this morning had my wife giving me crap about it, and Pete gave me grief as soon as we got on the call, as if we're in some sort of deep relationship. But I think we're just going to eat barbecue and talk about websites. So
to be honest, well, I can't talk about it from your wife's point of view, but from my point of view, it's pure jealousy. I just wish I was there, you know, eating and talking barbecue with you, to be honest.
Well, it'd take probably a few more hours for you to fly out, but you're welcome to join us.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when I didn't go home, and so it's now what, 20 to 4 in the afternoon here. And when I didn't go home and sent a message to my wife saying, yes, I'm going to go and meet two blokes in the middle of America to go and talk WordPress and eat barbecue. She, yeah, it may
you'll
not
be cool
go
with that. Yeah,
fine. One day we'll make it happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
you just have to wait till kids are grown up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, I might bring one of them with me. Then he can be chauffeur.
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds like a plan. So we're going to talk all things networking, which is now we. I suppose we should caveat this by saying that the sort of offline discussion we've had and some of the emails that we've had have been about in-person networking, haven't they? And the benefits for that. The irony to this conversation is we've both done in-person networking before, but for whatever reason, for the past few months, neither of us have actually been actively involved in it. So we're kind of recording this episode as a bit of a kick up the backside to get it, you know, to get ourselves back into it. And actually, if you're listening to this, and obviously it's going to be after we've recorded it, and you want to jump into either my group or Kyle's group and say, hey, Pete or Kyle, how's that networking going? Feel free to keep us accountable to anything we're going to discuss in the next few minutes.
Absolutely.
So, Kyle, do you want to kick off by explaining a little bit about your experience in networking? How I know how it works here in the UK. We can go into that in a moment. But how's it worked for you in the past, and what is it that you're missing that you're wanting to get back to?
Yeah, I think once I started networking online, I just found it so much easier to sit at home and talk with people. And I had a much bigger pool of people to talk to, and I could target the people I'm talking to, you know. So I've gotten really lazy about the in-person stuff. But what I found is you can convert a lot better when you know somebody and when you can shake their hand and when you can be in front of them. Mm. So I started doing networking stuff back when I had a full-time job and I worked for somebody else, and we were part of BNI, which is a big networking group. I know y'all have it over there as well. Yeah. So we did that for a couple of years, and I was involved in that. Of course, we did a lot of Chamber of Commerce stuff. So we had, you know, weekly meetings with the chamber, plus they have all kinds of other events and stuff. Another thing has been being involved with nonprofits as far as being a volunteer and then attending all of their functions. Mm-hmm. And that's another great source of networking, because a lot of the who's who's and business owners and stuff show up at those kinds of things. So when I first started my business, that's how I got every bit of my business. That's how I met every customer of mine, was just through in-person networking stuff. Now that I've gotten more busy, I've kind of, you know, gotten lazy about that, because I just hadn't had that drive to, I need to feed my family and I got to get out and meet these people in order to accomplish that. But, you know, looking back at some of those things and seeing how I kind of grew the business that way, I know that's something that I need to keep doing and keep that pipeline open.
Mm. There's a key point really to do with business growth. And I think one of the frequent mistakes people make with in-person networking is that there's two mistakes really. The first is that people turn up and they think, right, I'm going to walk out with some business. And it just doesn't work like that. You know, it is about building trust. It's about having that common experience with people, about allowing other people to understand what you do and who you serve. And the second thing, which is where you can kind of turbocharge, I suppose, or it's the hack to in-person networking would be the Americanism way of putting it, I suppose.
Don't put that on us.
it's not the British way of doing it. We're far too stiff upper lipped. Oh, the way to it, you know, speed up your networking. Hey, I should do a whole podcast in that accent. That'd be amazing. Anyway, the way to sort of accelerate your success is also to not necessarily sell to the people that are in the room, but to allow the people in the room to understand what it is you do and who you're trying to target. So that, you know, it's not a case of, you know, you need a brand new website, but actually to say, you know what, I work really well with people in the service industry, or I work really well with people who are lawyers or solicitors. So if you know any of those, and they are looking for some online support, then I'm the guy that, you know, that they need to talk to. I'd really like to get the connection. And actually that way it's far less of a hard sell and just more of a, look, we're all in business together. We can all help each other out here.
Yeah. And you know what? I do think walking into any of those kinds of meetings, trying to sell something is a terrible mistake. And I think I even take it a step further than kind of what you're describing there is I try to not talk about myself as much as possible. Really what I'm after is their network of people, because especially in these closed groups, there's only so many people in the circle, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're going there to just eventually do business with the people in that circle, you're going to run out pretty soon. So really what you're wanting to do is get to all their networks that are outside that circle. What I've found to be the most effective is just go in and try to get people to do three things. So they need to know you, like you, and trust you. And once you can establish those three things with people, they're going to send business to you without you even asking them to. Once they feel comfortable with you, once you show that you want to be involved in helping them, you can send them referrals. You can ask them, what's the best way for me to help your business, you know, as far as bringing you leads and stuff. When you start doing that, people will reciprocate automatically without even thinking about it, you know? So, my goal is to always really not go in and talk about myself at all. You know, at most of the chamber meetings, they want you to do a you know, stand up and say 60, you know, you got 60 seconds to talk about yourself. That's my least favorite part, because I just don't want to go in there and talk about myself at all. I want to ask them as many questions about their business as possible.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Now, one of the reasons, well, actually the main reason why I kind of gave up or stopped, I should say, the in-person networking meetings that I went to. So I went to, I won't mention the name of it, but I went to a particular group that met in Sheffield, in the city where I live, and it toured around the city. We had four or five different venues, so that it would move around each venue once every week. So we were in different, trying to target different parts of the city, and it made it easier for people to access it some weeks than others. But I did exactly what you just said. When I went, and they did have, you know, yeah, stand up at the front, introduce yourself. And in some respects, you did feel like you were sometimes talking to the same group of people week in, week out. So we tried to get creative with what we did. And we the guys that organized it, they had a thing for pitch of the week, and you got people that did ridiculously creative. Some of them were brilliant, right? I mean, absolutely brilliant. However, I then got to this one particular week, and some of the listeners may know, I did, earlier this year, I did a charity bike ride for Sheffield Children's Hospital, and we were arranging a ball as a fundraising event for the bike ride. So rather than pitch about my business, I did tell them what I did and who I was. I said, look, a lot of you know what we're doing. A lot of you know who I am. This is what we're doing this year. There's 9 of us doing it. We're doing it for charity, this, that, and the other. And we're running this ball. Tables for the ball are X amount. All the proceeds go to the charity. There's going to be auctions, prize draws, celebs there. You know, I did the whole works. And for somebody that maybe only had, I don't know, couple of inquiries a month maybe from the networking group, I got a torrent, an absolute barrage of complaints of people telling me that you don't come to this group. You don't come to this group to sell. We don't want to, you know, you've come to this group and you're trying to make us buy tickets at a charity event that we don't want to go to. I'm not trying to make you do anything. It's just, you know, I even pitched it, I seem to remember, in a way where I said, look, you know, tables, there's a discount if you book a whole table. If you want to wine and dine some clients, or maybe use it for a business perspective, or if two or three of you want to club together and do that, then that's absolutely fine. And, you know, we're offering a discount to people we know, etc. And so in the end, I thought, you know what, stuff this for a lot. Why the heck would I bother putting my time and effort into a group of people that actually, when you're trying to do something that's for somebody else, they don't want to know? The irony is, the big irony, just to bring the story full circle, is that I do still follow the group on Facebook. And about a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago, they announced their charity of the year.
Oh.
So somebody's had a change of heart somewhere, but I'm not willing to sort of go and find out exactly how that happened. I suppose I've had my hands burnt a little bit. That's really the point. I rambled on for a few minutes about that story, but it's where am I going with this? The point that you need to go in there, you need to build trust. You need to take, it's an investment in time, isn't it? In order to, before you can start even thinking about seeing results in inverted commas, yeah. It's an investment in time.
Now, I think the approach of you going in there and doing that is the perfect approach. Now, it sounds like the group isn't the perfect group. I don't know why they would be offended that you're trying to help charity. So that seems odd. But, you know, you British people, you just never know. I think that's a great approach right there. Go in and show that you're just trying to be a helpful person. You know, I think that's what it's all about. And you're right. You're not going to see returns the first day or the next day or maybe even months or longer than that down the road. But you're building those relationships with people, and you're just making sure your face and your name is out there all the time. And when somebody comes up to them with a problem, or they have a customer, or they have a friend that's needing the service you offer, they're going to refer you. You know, it's just the way it works. So it's really a long-term plan, but you're going to see rewards from it for sure.
Now, you also made a very good point earlier, which was that you go in not to talk about yourself. So do you want to sort of expand on that a little bit? What are the sort of things that you potentially try and glean from the group, glean from the people that you're talking to while you're networking?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one-on-one conversations are probably the most powerful, or the smallest group you can get in, where you can just have more connection with people. So, you know, once you get people talking about themselves, they're going to end up giving you way more information than they would have given you had you, you know, been trying to sell to them or quiz them or anything like that. You know, so my goal is to just always ask them a ton of questions about their business, you know, and try to be as interested in it as possible, even though I'm probably not that interested. but the more that I can just learn about their business, you know, we do marketing. So really it's super useful for us to know how their business operates, who their customers are, what's going on in their business, what are the trends in the industry, all those questions that they could probably sit there and talk about for hours, just like me and you could talk about our business forever. But they ended up giving you a lot of information. So you can always use that information to your advantage when, you know, if they do tell you about a struggle they're having, you can tell them a story about how you've worked with somebody to solve that kind of problem, you know? Mm. But when you start asking them all those questions and asking them how you can send referrals to them, or if somebody comes to mind and you can send them a referral, that usually blows people away pretty good, you know? So, just try to ask as many questions as possible and try to just bank all that information for later, you know?
Now, the next thing that I find with it is that networking seems to be this thing that people embody that is something you go and do. So now, okay, yeah, you go to a networking meeting. Okay, that's got a time, it's got a date, it's got a venue. That's absolutely fine. But you don't leave that networking meeting and think, right, that's my networking done for the day. But actually, if you can then start to take that networking outside of the room. So some of the positive experiences I've had when I've been networking are to say, right, Joe Bloggs, I met you at XYZ networking event, and we had a chat about this. You know, I've since then, I had this thought occur to me, or I've run this report for you online, or I've done this. This may be of some use to you, or the person that, you know, whoever it is that we were talking about. and almost sort of generating this free kind of these free kind of giveaways that you're just somehow, in order to start this whole process, somebody has to take the first move in. It's kind of offering the added value, isn't it? Have you done anything like that? Have you found anything through your networks that's worked particularly well in that kind of place, or is that like sort of the next move for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're always kind of self-serving a little bit, but I think when you go to those meetings and you listen to the things people are talking about, especially if any of the people in those groups are somebody that would be a target customer, you're getting all the research you need for doing content marketing. So, you know, you hear them asking a question about, I don't know, getting their Google My Business listing or something. Well, then you go back and you write a little blog about it or a step-by-step tutorial video or something. And the next meeting you say, hey, I have this great new resource on my website. It talks about, you know, how you can set up and optimize your Google My Business listing. You know, just go there and, you know, it's all free information. Well, you know, you're taking the things that they already have questions about and just building content about it. Cause most of the time it's not real difficult stuff. Most of the time it's stuff, you know, we could rattle off really quickly, but you're just showing that you're kind of an expert in that field and you're giving that value away. So I think it's a great way to research, you know, what is your target audience looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you on that, mate. And it's these things that people struggle with, or it's these things that people kind of build up in their heads thinking, you know, oh, I've got to do all of this stuff, I've got to go to this networking meeting, I've got to be switched on for the whole 2 hours that it's on, and what if I don't say the right thing to the right person, or what if I leave and then something else occurs. And it's not that much of a big deal in that respect. It's about being there, it's about being in the room and being patient with allowing the relationships to develop.
Absolutely.
Now, Carl sent me an email the other day ahead of this with sort of a few points on it. And one of the things that came in your email that jumped out to me was you then mentioned networking with your competitors. Mm-hmm. So do you want to elaborate on that a little bit and why you think that's a good idea?
Well, you know, in the towns that I've lived in and done in-person networking, they're fairly small. Let's see, the last Chamber of Commerce I was a part of, probably on average on our like weekly meeting, there'd be 30 people there. So it's not a huge group of people. The towns are fairly small. I had, you know, a couple competitors. But I think you can do so much like competitor research, plus set yourself up to be able to work with some of those competitors. You know, where I'm at now, I have more competitors than I've ever had before. The town's a little bit bigger. But I've learned so much about those competitors by listening to the speeches they give, see who they're talking to in meetings. You know, they're coming to these meetings and bragging about all the things they do, which I'm just over there, you know, taking notes on all of it because, you know, it's opposition research. Plus, you know, you kind of always, you know, we use the word competitor, we're competing with them. But in honesty, there's, you know, me and you are competitors. Everybody in the admin bar group are competitors because we're all doing the same job and we're all trying to get, you know, similar customers, but there's enough jobs to go around. There's certain jobs that I'm more positioned well for than my competitors here in town and vice versa. So, you know, I think there's room for us to be able to send work to competitors. Mm. And maybe it's the work you just don't really want to do. But I think the more you know about your competition, the better. And I just think if you can get them to kind of know and like you too, that's a good thing. Now, I do have people that are kind of indirect competitors. So the focus of my business is doing website design and development, but I come from a print background and I still offer printing services and graphic design services and stuff like that. But I've networked with a lot of printing companies here locally and where I lived before, and struck up relationships with them where they have this huge database of customers and a storefront that I don't have, especially where I live now. I just moved to this town back at the end of May. Mm-hmm. So I'm still getting to know everybody, but they have a storefront and have been in business for years and they don't offer websites. So I've struck up relationships with them where, you know, they're sending me some customers, if they're talking about websites, they're sending them to me. And basically I've just made the agreement, you know, I'm not going to market print services to those people, you know, if you send them to me, which is completely fair. So there's people that you could probably have relationships with that could be mutually beneficial. You just got to look for those opportunities, you know?
Yeah. You're dead right. You're dead right. And I think that one of the biggest obstacles to people starting on the networking journey is that they think that they have to have everything lined up to begin with before they start. And actually the reality of it is once you meet people, I always say at the end of the day, people like doing business with people. And when you meet people at networking events, it very quickly becomes evident that they are just people on a journey, just like you are, just like I am. And yes, some of us may do the same thing and some of us may not. And that's absolutely fine. That's what makes the world go round. But we're always stronger together. And I think that's particularly evident in the way that your Facebook group's actually going, mate, because it's, as I say, the levels of discussion. Look, we were in there last night and we were having a chat about, well, it would have been yesterday morning for you, but we were having a chat about pricing a job for 7,000 photos. Mm-hmm. I'm lying on the sofa at home. I've got a beer next to me and I'm just doing this maths in my head about processing these photos. But you know what? You couldn't have that discussion in a group that was a different demographic to your, you know, to, right. Okay. There are other groups on Facebook, which are a similar demographic to yours. You could have gone into one of those, but you couldn't have just gone to a generic networking meeting and had that kind of discussion because not everybody would have known about it. But that's sure. Just testament to the fact you're on a journey. This request's come in and, you know, there was what, 8, 10, 12 of us that ended up sort of being involved in that. And, you know, I don't know how you sort of, what the end result was for you, but it was, you have that safe space. And in some respects, in-person networking, if you can push yourself over the edge and get yourself there, is a safe space to start to journey with the other people in the group. And through that, start doing inter-referrals. And it is about as much as you can give, just as much as you can get.
Yeah. And, you know, when I first started going to them for my own business, when I was going to those meetings for the company I worked for, I wasn't nervous about any of it because, you know, there's no skin off my back. But when I started going for myself, you know, I really felt like I needed to have, you know, everything in line. I needed to be really well put together. I needed to wear nice clothes that I would never wear unless I was going to a networking meeting, and I needed to speak a certain way, and I needed to have all the answers. And if you know me for about 5 minutes, you'll know that I don't wear nice clothes and I don't have all the answers. I ask more questions than I answer things, you know? So it's not genuine, and people can tell that things like that aren't genuine. So I try to go to those meetings and just be myself. You know, some people like me, some people don't like me. You know, I like some people and I don't like other people, and that's cool. So I don't think having all those answers is necessary. You know, the people there that are trying to network are experiencing the same things you are, and they're trying to be buttoned up and really put on this face for their company. But you can break through those walls pretty easily, especially if you come into the situation being more authentic.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And the overall aim of your networking is actually to obtain that position of a trusted advisor in your niche with a bigger group of people, so that it's not about selling to them necessarily, but it's about them, you being their go-to guy for web services in your case, or my case, or whatever your business might be. Chris Ducker talks a lot about becoming somebody's favorite, and it's almost like it's the in-person version of that, isn't it?
Yeah. And I just find that, you know, I have a lot more competitors if somebody's just looking for a website developer online, you know, millions of competitors. Whereas if people are looking for someone here in my town, I only have a few. So, you know, that makes it a little bit easier to not be competing with so many people. So I feel like I can make my prices a little bit higher. Plus, just if people like you, if people know, like, and trust you, you know, I go back to those three things. If people know, like, and trust you, they're willing to spend more to work with you. You know, so I do find that I can charge more for those clients because I kind of already have them hooked a little bit. They already know the kind of service they're going to get. They already know who they're going to be working with, what I'm like to be around, the kind of person I am, what I'm already giving back to our community. Whereas if I was just some web developer they found online, I don't have any of those advantages. The other thing that you had mentioned is, you know, when you're talking about not just going after those people, but after their network, you can get kind of creative on that too, and look at the people that your ideal customer already trusts, or people that have a lot of access to your ideal customer. So for me, a lot of times I'm working with small businesses that are really trying to grow. So I find that the mom and pop just started a business and have a Facebook, but don't need a web, you know, don't think they need a website. They're probably not a great customer for me because they don't have the money to spend on it. Mm. But it's the people who realize they need to start getting serious and doing some more professional work to do their marketing. So I look at who are those people going to for advice or for services. So some things that come up are commercial loan officers. So the people that are really trying to scale up their business are probably buying more equipment, buying a bigger office, investing in their business. And a lot of times that requires getting loans. So if I can have some kind of relationship with a local loan officer, he or she then can refer me to all the people coming in, because those people are coming in and talking all about their business. A loan officer is going to ask you a million questions about your business. Oh, you know what? I know a guy, Kyle, does website work. He can take good care of you. So, you know, loan officers, lawyers, accountants, business coaches, all those kinds of people have intimate access with my customers or you know, my potential customers. So getting really strong relationships with those people is super valuable. So that could be different depending on what your industry is, but put some time, you know, trying to think a little bit outside the box at who are the people your ideal customer trusts.
Absolutely. That's actually the story as to where this podcast came from. So some of the people that we do some of our best work with through our agency are marketing consultants who have their own network of clients. But as an individual consultant, they don't have all of the skills that they need to service that client fully. So they look for agency support in particular areas, and that's what we can offer. So, you know, absolutely. Yeah, we're not just trying to say, look, we can do websites for companies XYZ because we can, but actually the people that over the lifetime of the business will make us the most money and will give us the longest lasting relationship will be a marketing consultant that may have anywhere between sort of, I don't know, 7 and 15 clients, depending on the size of the clients that they're working with themselves. So yeah, identifying who that person is, who that person of trust is. And that's another good sideways way of looking at it, to say, okay, so yeah, people that work in businesses that we like to work with often speak to business loan vendors, for example. That's a great way of broadening the people that you're wanting to relate to at networking events. So just starting to sort of bring this into land a little bit now, but what would your kind of one piece of advice be to anybody that's thinking of going to networking, hasn't tried it before, they feel a bit apprehensive and a bit nervous about it? What would you say to them, other than just, you know, pull your socks up and get yourself there? You know, you get a breakfast.
Yeah, you do get a breakfast. So that's perfect. You know, I'm, you can't tell most of the time, especially once I'm comfortable with people. I'm not really a shy person, but when I get into those situations where I don't know anybody, so the first time you go to those meetings or the first few times, I am stuck against the wall, not talking to anybody. So my advice would be, identify the other people that are doing that too. And it's pretty easy to spot the people that are nervous to be there. They're the ones that walk straight in and sit down, not standing up talking to another group of people, you know, or the other people stuck up against the wall. Go reach out to those people because they're too nervous to come talk to somebody, and they're waiting for somebody to talk to them. So you already know now that you're both nervous or shy about this situation, and it's going to make it a whole lot easier. But you got to be consistent about going. If you show up once every 3 months to something, nobody's going to remember you. It's a big time commitment. I think I've had a lot of things going on. We moved, we had a baby, you know, all these things. So I haven't had the time to go do all this. It's a lot of getting in your car, driving, sitting, waiting, talking, driving home, and you can't get any work done during that time. So there is a time commitment to it, but it does pay off for sure. Just be consistent about going. And, you know, if you meet one person every time, one new person, or talk to one new person, you know, that adds up over time. So you don't have to tackle the whole thing at once.
No, absolutely. Now, actually, the final thing we probably should mention is there's different types of networking groups, isn't there? So you've mentioned BNI. So the way BNI works is you have chapters, or a meeting is called a chapter. And within that chapter, they will only have one of a particular specialism. So if you do get into a BNI chapter, then you will be the only web developer, or in your case, graphic designer, or whatever you do, you would be the only one of those there. There are, however, commitments to a group like BNI to do with frequency of turning up and referrals and all that kind of stuff. You then have some free networking events. Now, in my experience, the free ones are normally the, I don't want to say the worst ones. That's not what I mean.
You get the least return out of them.
You do. Considering you're putting nothing in, you get nothing. You get very little back. Yeah. And then there's paid networking. Now, in the UK, the paid networking events are normally, I don't know, between where I am in Sheffield, they're normally between sort of 10 and at most £20. But we do have networking through our chamber as well, which whilst it's free networking, you still pay your chamber fee for the year. So technically it's not free. But there, I'm assuming it works in a very similar way over in the States.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I've explained BNI to the people who don't know about it. It's very much kind of like being part of a cult.
I was trying to avoid that word earlier, but you just went
straight. That's okay. No, I'll just go for it. Yeah. I'll call them a cult. So they have a ton of rules. You can only miss so many meetings. They really pressure you to turn in referrals for other people, which ends up people just having to turn in referrals. So they're turning in really crap referrals that aren't any good. So there are some flaws to it. It's a huge time commitment. It's usually more expensive than a chamber or something like that. On the other hand, they are really good at networking. So like you said, you can't have any competitors in there with you. The people in the group are almost shamed to work with you if they need help in your area. If they went to somebody else, everybody in the group would look at them pretty strangely. But their whole thing, the way they do it is, you get your 60 seconds to stand up and talk, and you just talk about the kind of referrals you're looking for. So their whole thing is you're not there to necessarily just market with the people in the group. You're there to get access to their network, and you're there to be a salesman for everybody else in the group, which is a great way to network. And I think they have that down. It's just way too much of a commitment for me and ritualistic, and it's just not my thing. So I think it's something you should go try. You know, I think you have to commit for a year. It's worth it to make the connections, but it's definitely not for everybody.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've never actually been part of a BNI chapter. When in the UK, I was introduced to one, and in the UK, you're essentially allowed to visit the chapter for a month. Now, within that month, you don't expect a lot back. But I kind of got the opinion that it wasn't for me. So yeah. I tried it. I understand the model. I've been to some of the meetings, but it wasn't for me. I know that there are other members in our group that have been part of BNI and that are part of BNI, and they absolutely love it and they get a ton of work from it, and that's fine. For me, I was having this discussion at the weekend actually with a few people. For me, you need to understand what your business is. What is your business trying to achieve for you that aids to what success is? And I don't mean money. Money's a byproduct. Money's the side of it. Well, you know, we all want to earn money, but for me, the reason I have my business, the reason it's set up like this, is because it delivers a lifestyle to me that I want to achieve. And the thing with BNI was it was going to start putting pressure on places of my life that I didn't want it to, that, you know, they were things that I'd worked hard to build and to achieve for my own personal kind of development and my own, the way, just the way I like to live. Sure. So that was really the reason why BNI didn't fit for me, and why I looked for something else that could be a little bit more fluid should I want it to be. Sorry, go on.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. It's just too structured and rigid for me. You know, if you miss, I forget, I think some of them have different rules, but you can't miss more than a couple meetings a year or they're kicking you out and keeping your money. It's just, it's a little bit much for me. But there are other ways to do it too. You know, at my old town before I left, I started a Facebook group that was like, business link, insert name of town, and tried to get some people involved in that. And then tried and then ended up moving, trying to get some actual in-person groups together with that, where it was just a more relaxed, more like let's get together and have dinner or something like that, but just that relationship building with people. So, you know, there's creative ways to go about it. You don't have to break the bank to network, but typically if you're doing something that's paid, you're going to find people that are more serious than just all the freebie stuff.
Is that why you had to leave town?
Yeah, exactly. They ran me out.
Sorry, as soon as you said it, I thought, I've got to ask that question. Yeah, people will be thinking it. So
yeah, well done.
Thanks, mate. Look, thanks for your time. I know you've got a big day. You need to go and do your hair and
yes,
all that kind of stuff.
But, let's see. Does it look all right now?
Oh, you've taken the cap off, mate. It's the first time.
I'm trying to do the Matt do.
Oh, really?
Got this like flock thing. I don't think it's working. Probably shouldn't have done that.
That's not getting edited out. On the podcast where people can't see the hair, it's not getting edited out.
You need to get a screenshot of it for the capture for the podcast.
Okay, I'll do that.
Perfect.
So before you go, do you want to let people know how they can connect with you online, apart from joining the Marketing Development Podcast group, which you can do at peteverett.com/group.
Right, yes. And I think I'm a top 10 contributor pretty consistently in that group. So you will find me in there.
You are all top 10.
Nice.
All 10 of them. So how can people find you online, mate?
You know, I spend most of my time online on Facebook. So if you're going to find me, that's the place to do it. Pete's group, my own group, plenty of other groups where I'm top 10 contributors. So my life is very sad and you'll find me on there.
Well, I'll drop links to, I won't do every group that you're part of because it'd be quite a long list, but I will drop links to the admin bar. And I'll stick a link into your website as well, mate, because I know people can get your email address from that.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for your time. You've been an absolute superstar.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you putting up with me.
See you later, mate. We'd love to hear some of your experiences of networking in the Marketing Development Podcast group. You can get there at peteverett.com/group or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast and you will find us. Thanks again, Kyle, for your insight. And if you have anybody that you think might benefit from listening to the Marketing Development Podcast, please feel free to share it with your network or drop me a line and we can invite people into the group directly. Until next time, we'll see you then.